The Film Society of Lincoln Center's Walter Reed Theater is celebrating the career of Anne Bancroft this week, and tonight they'll be showing the 1962 film, The Miracle Worker, for which Miss Bancroft and her co-star Patty Duke both won Oscars. Patty Duke will be appearing at tonight's screening at 8:15 p.m., and I'm pleased to welcome her to our show to talk about the making of the film, working with Anne Bancroft.
Thank you very much.
And also your own career. The Miracle Worker was a play before it was a film, and both of you appeared in it first?
Yes, actually, it was a Playhouse 90, I think, first, but with different actresses. Anne and I created the Broadway production in 1959.
And then Hollywood is notorious for casting someone else in a role that that people have created on Broadway and created all the interest. Was this a surprise?
The angst that goes through the theater when somebody's choosing who's going to play the movie. As a matter of fact, I was having a wee bit of a growing spurt when the play was a year and a half into the run, and so they began to talk about maybe having some other little girl.
But in the movies,
I would have jumped off the Empire State Building.
In the movies, it doesn't matter. They, you know, they made Alan Ladd look tall.
Exactly.
United Artists.
I think that. I have no idea how they made the decision finally, but I envision a few people having drinks, you know, in the Palm Court or something, and somebody saying, "Are you out of your mind? You're going to take another kid? What, are you crazy?"
Well, I understand United Artists wanted to replace Anne Bancroft with Elizabeth Taylor, but then Arthur Penn insisted on sticking with her.
Yes.
I guess they wanted, if they'd gotten Elizabeth Taylor, they would have had to get a bigger name kid. So it all worked out for the best. But so many film adaptations of stage plays don't work very well. Why do you think that film was so successful?
Well, at the risk of sounding very puffed up, I think that the fact that Annie and I really functioned as a terrific, well-oiled machine. And when it came time to do the movie, I think the thinking was, hey, you know, they know what they're doing. And I think we were able to transfer it to film because both of us knew the technique for bringing it down a little bit, you know, for the screen. But also my role, the wilder I was, the better.
Mm-hmm.
For my taste, just to look at Anne Bancroft on film is riveting.
Well, how old? You were 12 when you did
That's
it.
That's correct. I was 12.
So, and she was a grown woman, so you couldn't
well,
have
that. Well, she was 28, I think, because I remember she. We got to have very wonderful moments for each other. Half hour is a sacred time she would allow me in her dressing room during that time, and we'd have a good time. But she also always allowed, how can I put this? She was very dominant in the play. That was her role. But she always respected me, the actor. And that taught me a lot. She, in all areas of life, she taught me a lot.
She also had a great sense of humor, as we learned through her relationship with Mel Brooks.
I feel very privileged. I was there at the beginning. She would let me come into her dressing room at half hour, and there would be Mel. And so before long, I would wind up on Mel's lap, and Mel would tell funny stories, and we would all screech. And then Annie would tell funny stories. Her sense of humor was, just so magnificent. She was quick-witted, but she also understood how you tell a story in a humane way. At any rate, yes, I was there on the ground floor when Annie and Mel started courting.
Was The Miracle Worker your first major stage role?
Yes.
At what age did you begin working in show business?
I began working in live television in the dramatic or anthology type shows when I was seven.
And television at that time was a great place to learn, not only for actors, but some of the greatest directors worked in it.
Exactly. I happened along at a magical time. I worked with some of the most wonderful and brilliant directors, and I learned from the actors who really knew their stuff. So I went to the School of Hard Knocks. And it went very well for me.
Well, personally as well, the story you've told in your memoir about your relationship with John and Ethel Ross, your mother allowing them to essentially take over raising you.
Yes. My mom was a very depressed kind of personality and very insecure. So when this man and woman, the Rosses, appealed to her that they would need me to live with them so I could be a star...
Did they see something special in you?
I don't know what they saw. I really don't.
I mean, it worked out
fine. I was
fine.
A street kid. I mean, you know, I used to open cab doors for dimes. So I don't quite know. I think it was a roll of the dice for them, really.
And your name was not Patty. It was Anne Marie.
Anne Marie. You know what? Anne Bancroft and I, one of the things we loved was we had the same name in common. She's Anne Marie and I'm Anna Marie.
Well, how did you wind up becoming Patty?
Oh, the Rosses decided that it wasn't cutesy enough for the business.
Anna Marie sounds cute.
Yeah. Well, you know, at any rate, the lady, Ethel, came in the room one day and said to me, "Okay, Anna Marie's dead. You're Patty now." And I had the appropriate psychosis for years.
Because, you responded when people yelled, "Anna Marie," you turned around, didn't you? How long before you turned around when they said Patty?
Pretty fast. I was one of those kids who insisted on pleasing. So things that might have taken longer for somebody else went really quick for me.
How did you get the role of Helen Keller? Was there an open casting?
There was open casting. The Rosses prepared me for months. He had read something in Variety that they were going to do The Miracle Worker. So I was, you know, the ridiculous thing of moving the furniture while I was blindfolded, all those sort of things that will go into making someone believe that you are blind and deaf. So when came time, my turn to audition, it consisted of fighting with Annie.
Was Anne Bancroft already cast?
Anne Bancroft was already cast. The Arthur Penn, Anne Bancroft, Fred Coe was solid. At any rate, before I knew it, she was smacking me. And I smacked her back. And what you saw, I realize now, was two New York street kids who... You know, one was not going to let the other get the better of them. And that allowed for the reality and the excitement of the fight scene in particular.
And Arthur Penn was a great director.
Yes, he is.
And he wound up doing the stage play and then the movie.
Absolutely both. I don't know if he ever knew this, but I had an enormous crush on him. And if he said, "Go up to the third floor and jump," I would have.
Now, you also didn't get to speak in this play.
No.
So you really had to express everything through your movement.
Everything was very physically expressed when I played Helen.
Was that harder than a regular speaking role?
What do you think? A little girl?
Now
you can't talk, huh? That was the toughest of all. Arthur worked with helping me learn some sounds that would be a little disconcerting to people. And so sometimes that's how I expressed to myself. For instance, there was a scene where Annie is teaching Helen's mother how to spell. And there's a dog in the room, and Helen is teaching the dog how to spell. And all of a sudden, there's a crashing boom, and a whole pipe load of lights fell. And everyone was startled, and the audience was gasping. And, of course, I knew I couldn't show anything, so I squeezed the dog's tail, and it shrieked and ran off, and I was satisfied.
Because if you'd made a noise, it would have been obvious that you'd heard it,
and
you'd be out of character.
Exactly. I mean, all the work we had done would go right out the window.
My guest is Patty Duke, Anne Marie Duke. We're talking about The Miracle Worker and other things. A 1962 film version earned her an Oscar, and also Anne Bancroft an
Absolutely.
Oscar. And you must have been thinking about that last night when you were watching the Oscars, or are you
too
far past that?
I always think of Annie in terms of the Oscars or any other award. You know, it's funny because when we got grown up, we really went very different ways, and yet the
Well, you did a sitcom, and she married a sitcom.
Exactly. The hold on my heart has been forever.
Well, it was interesting last night that The Hurt Locker, which was a modest film,
yes.
won. And when The Miracle Worker was first put on Broadway, I gather many people thought it was not going to last because the audiences would not want to see this kind of thing.
There was a lot of negativity as it was being mounted, as they say.
And then you won Tonys.
Yes. No, I didn't win a Tony because someone at the Antoinette Perry Place decided that I had the rest of my life to win a Tony, and it's taking the rest of my life.
Well, it won a Tony for Best Play,
Anne,
Best Direction,
yes,
and Anne won for Best Actress.
Exactly.
You did win a Theatre World Award.
I did.
And that ran 2 years? So you
were...
Puberty.
Annie was a year and a half. I was a year and 9 months because we then left to do the film. Yes. And again,
you did
what
with
I
Suzanne
was trying
Plachette.
To tell you earlier. Yes. Suzanne came in and I beat her up. But Annie, to me, was not just an acting partner. I mean, the person who told me about how young girls have this thing every month that they go... Annie taught me about that.
So she was really your surrogate mother
as
well.
Oh, my God, yes. But she was also my silly body friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you made there's a new production of the play that just opened last week starring Abigail Breslin. Is this the first time it's been revived?
Well, you know, it's been done in universities. God only knows how many hundreds of times. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time that it has been revived, and they're sort of using the fact that it's the 50th anniversary to do the revival.
It started your career. Did you get a lot of offers after that?
Yeah, it was what catapulted me into the way of life that I have lived for 50 something years.
But did you and Anne ever work again? Together?
No, we didn't. Which was there was always a longing in me to do that. But I also understood that Anne needed to go in the direction of The Graduate and those sorts of movies so that her career was going to, you know, have a longer lifespan. And so I just sat in the corner and
Well, later you played Annie Sullivan in a TV version of The Miracle Worker. So you got to play both parts.
I did. And you know, that was a lifelong dream at that point. You brought it up in the beginning. I had nothing to say in The Miracle Worker. But I used to, as I was going to sleep at night, I would say Annie's lines. And some 20-something years later, I still knew all the lines,
wow.
And I got the part. And she was so generous and gracious to
So
me.
Were you remembering the way she did it when you were working with Melissa Gilbert?
I was trying hard not to, even though I thought it was the kind of performance. I just wanted to be different. So I would hear her voice in my mind's ear. But I worked very hard to give it a different approach. And Melissa, can you imagine? There's poor Melissa. She's right in the face of the person who played Helen. Mm-hmm. So she was terrific, too. It's funny. Once you get involved with a miracle worker, it really gets under your skin.
Although you then went in a very different direction the next year. You wound up with your own sitcom in which you played those identical cousins, Patty and Kathy Lane, living in Brooklyn Heights, although you came from Queens.
That's
Patty
right.
was a New Yorker. Kathy was from Scotland.
Or someplace general in Europe.
Whatever accent you would enjoy in that moment. Was the idea of playing two different characters something that would show your acting skills?
I think, frankly, that it was a hook. You know, there were not a lot of children on television or having their own shows during that time. And it was the hook to hang our hats on. Then it became my chore to accomplish making them as different as possible.
Well, you've written two books. One, your autobiography, Call Me Anna, and the other, Brilliant Madness, Living with Manic Depressive Illness. You don't call it bipolar. But I wonder about that in relation to playing two different characters who have very different personalities.
You know, Sidney Sheldon created the show, and I remember in later years saying to him, you knew. I mean, your choice for there to be two characters was so on the money. Again, he didn't see necessarily mania or depression at that time. But it is ironic that that struggling with two personalities can also be part of what was going on with me.
And you prefer manic depressive. I know Carrie Fisher says she hates bipolar because it sounds like a sexually confused bear.
I know. My mother said to me one day, how come you're bipolar and I'm unipolar? And I said, because I'm sexier than you. But yes, I prefer manic depressive because it sounds like what it feels like. But I don't care what the hell you call it as long as we deal with it.
Well, you also took a role of Neely O'Hara in the film The Valley of the Dolls.
That wasn't me. No, that wasn't me.
Like an alcoholic, drug addicted singer.
Yeah.
I guess you were trying to break out of the mold of the goody-goody kid.
Precisely. I was trying to do a grown-up part.
Were you fan shocked?
I think fans were shocked. I think that the whole tenor of the movie was false, and that was what was most disturbing to people.
When did you realize that you had a problem, that you were manic depressive?
Oh, I didn't know that until I was 35 years old. I knew there was something wrong from the time I was 20. But the idea of going to a psychiatrist was anathema. So it took me till... It was 15 years of active mania and depression before I allowed someone to give me a diagnosis.
Meanwhile, tonight you'll be appearing at the 8:15 screening of The Miracle Worker at the Film Society of Lincoln Center's Walter Reed Theater at 165 West 65th Street. That's between Amsterdam and Broadway. Also, they'll be showing The Graduate tomorrow. Mike Nichols will be there at 8:30. Marsha Norman will be there tomorrow at the 6 p.m. screening of Night Mother, and Neil Simon will appear Thursday at the 6:15 screening of Prisoner of Second Avenue. Patty Duke, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Leonard. It was, well, talking about her, I could do forever.